To give the people what they want. Got to give the people what they want. How true, how true, how true. Welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly. You are at the right place at the right time. My name is Daryl Clark, and I am your host of Progressive News Weekly. Thank you for taking the time out this evening to once again experience information and news that's intended to empower you and inspire you and encourage you and hopefully get you engaged to make a difference. Here on Progressive News Weekly, week in and week out, we bring you information that's gathered from, well, all around. All of our guests and information has been researched and is simply founded in truth. And with that, we speak that to power. Because we know that all the information that's being presented, whether it's mass media, television, satellite radio, or other forms of media is not always grounded in truth. It's also often in other forms of media that the information has been skewed. It's been adulterated by political or business and or business interest, I should say, because it's not always either or. It's so often a combination of political and business interest, because those lines have become so blurred now with the number of lobbyists now in Washington who are influencing virtually every law in the book. And those lobbyists being, of course, owned and controlled by big business, therefore bring an influence of big business to the political spectrum. So, we here at Progressive News Weekly, our intent is to bring you information that is truly for you, by you, and of you. It's news that we like to simply say you can use. Today, we are going to delve into another perspective of the political arena. Many of you saw the State of the Union last night, or I should say earlier in the week, and I'd be interested to hear what your perspectives are. We're always interested to hear what your perspectives are. So if you'd like to participate, you'll simply dial 347-838-9142 and give us your insight and your input as to what you thought about the State of the Union address by President Obama. Of course, I have my strong perspective and opinions, and of course, I'm going to share those with you as the program goes on. But before I do that, I want to take just a moment to talk about last week's program. And if you missed it, of course, you have the opportunity to tune in, and you'll simply want to go to blogtalkradio.com/, that is, Renford, R-E-N-F-O-R-D. And when you get to that homepage, you'll see you'll see Radio by Renford Network, and you'll see all the programs that are on the network. Mine is not the only program on the RBR network. There are numerous programs, and I, in fact, encourage you to just peruse some of those other programs. Like mine, they're all intended to encourage you and inspire you and empower you and get you engaged. So I truly highly encourage you to take a look at the other programs that are on there, and I can comfortably assure you that you will walk away with a higher base of knowledge than before you did. Continuing on, once you get to that home page, you will scroll down until you see the various programs that are on RBR Network. And you'll scroll down until you see my program, Daryl Clark's Progressive News Weekly. And they're listed by date and by topic and by guest. And so that should make it very easy for you to find the program for January 15th with Dick Gregory and others. And I say others, we had a very, very enlightening program. We had, in addition to Dick Gregory, Dr. Eddie Taylor, Yeah, the author of the book, Restoring the Minds of Black America. And that dialogue got very, very, very interesting. We peeled back some layers, as the saying goes, of the minutia that's being spread, calling itself news, to really get down to some core issues that are happening. So again, I encourage you to go back to the archives at blogtalkradio.com/Renford and just enjoy, partake. I can comfortably, as I said, assure you that you'll get value. You will get value. So getting back to today, we have a guest scheduled. Our guest scheduled for today is our own political analyst, if you will. Very non-traditional. He does not label himself as a Democrat or Republican or any other political party. He just simply speaks it the way he sees it. And so with that, I do welcome and encourage you to speak your truth. That's what we're about here. As long as you can back what you're saying to some significant degree with a grounding of truth and relevance and respect. So we have Ronald Crenshaw returning. And Ronald's not just a political analyst and activist. He's also a human rights advocate. So we look forward to him joining us. Hopefully he will. I know he said he would be traveling. He's in New York City. And so we're hoping that he will be able to join us shortly. Now, in the meantime, with regard to what's happening in our political arena, the State of the Union. President Barack Obama, he has 2 more years left to seal whatever legacy that he's going to be deemed with. And at this point in time, from my perspective, where I sit, I don't see one. And I'm not here to bash President Barack Obama. I've said this many, many times. He didn't have a greater supporter, as far as I'm concerned, with my limited resources, than I. I supported campaign number one, and I supported campaign number two. And frankly, I don't regret either one in terms of my support. I will always speak truth, my truth. I can't speak anyone else's truth. I can't speak your truth. But I will always speak my truth. And by you tuning in, I suspect that means that you care to or are being forced to, in case you're one of the media. I do have media listening in from time to time, and it's a compliment. At least I take it that way, too. Be deemed enough for someone to have to take time out to listen to my program. But for those of you who choose to listen to the program, I suspect reasonably that that's because you have some interest in what I have to say. And so with that, I'll say I'm so proud that there is a black man in the office, the highest office in the United States of America. I truly am. And especially because he's halfway cool acting. You know, he's not nerdy. And that's a good image. He's articulate, obviously highly intelligent. And he even has a personality. Now, with all of that said, on the other side of that coin, if there's another side of that coin, the man, since he's been elected, let me be clear about that, refuses to my degree speak of in any significance of his African heritage, African American heritage, if you will. He is not, from my recollection, and I really, and please, I'm asking you to call in if you have any comment on this. I don't recall him, outside of the Reverend Wright incident, speaking significantly of the ills of what's happening in the African-American community. And I said significantly. Oh, he spoke on situations when we had the Rice killings and the Gardner killings, and we can go on, the killing in St. Louis and in Florida. But he's not placed a real agenda. And when I listen to that speech, let me just say, and I didn't hear him once mention, to a significant degree. I mean, he hinted on and he danced around, but he never once directly spoke to the egregious ills taking place in our society against the African American citizen. He barely mentioned the word poverty. I believe he mentioned it two times. Oh, he mentioned middle class some quadruple that number of times, at least eight. Yeah, he mentioned all up and down about the middle class. But he never really spoke about the poor. In fact, I don't know if he mentioned the word one time. And frankly, it's disgusting. It is disgusting. And for those Obama lovers, and I love the man as a Christian, a brother, but I was disgusted because I believe that he has an opportunity now. He mentioned it in his speech. He won't be running again. And he was certainly voted in by 90% of African Americans. And in return, he has turned his back virtually on that 90%, at least 70% of them. Because you see, this is an elitist issue. I could be wrong, but I don't believe your affluent blacks to any significant degree are feeling the way I'm feeling. And if they are, there's a sense of cowardice going on there or ignorance. And I say that because they have nothing to say about it. If they are aware of it, prefer them to just be ignorant and not know than to know and not do anything. Or say anything. And I think it's frankly a combination of the two. So if you go back and read the transcript, and it's all over the web, just Google President Obama's State of the Union address, I believe you too, if you look at it objectively, will find that the man obviously avoided the issue. So blacks become political pawns to this man and have been. Under his watch, we've had some of the most atrocities occur to the black race. And don't think this was a coincidence. This is by design. Don't you know there are the police conferences, law enforcement, conferences. Don't you know there are backroom conversations? Don't you know there are think tanks? This was by design. We're going to show that nigga. Now, I don't know that those are the words that were said. It's possible. Maybe not. But I do know that when I look at what's happened, and the pinnacle being New York City, the world's greatest city by most standards. I mean, there are some that try to rival them. You know, Dubai wants to try to rival. Dubai will never, ever rival New York City. I mean, looking across the whole spectrum of what New York City is in terms of multiculture and history and its rootedness, steeped in some of the most profound humans to have walked the planet. No comparison. No comparison. You got Japan that's exploded recently, and some of the historic cities in Europe. New York will always be the pinnacle. That's why 9-1-1, that horrific incident, will go down in infamy. There's been nothing like it. Pearl Harbor paled in comparison. So New York City is where it was deemed. See, there's no coincidences. It was deemed that our law enforcement agencies will throw a spear in the sand against blacks and anyone else that would maybe want to try to stand up for themselves. And then the president sent the vice president there to endorse that nonsense. And I'm referring to how the police turned their back on an African-American boy. Oh, that's what they did. They weren't turning their back on the mayor. They were turning their back on the mayor's son and his wife. Get it straight, folks. I hope the hair is rising on the back of your necks right now. A lot of people don't really get what's really happening. This is an affront. Folks, if you got no kids or you got 8 kids, you got 1 kid, and you got 9 kids. That 1 kid, for those who don't have children by blood, and that 11th kid, for those who have 10 by blood, that's that other child that has not been part of your direct bloodline being affronted by these thugs. And you owe it to yourself to stand up and speak truth to that power. When you go into that supermarket or that public library or that bank or your post office or just talking across the fence in the backyard or down the hall in your apartment, you need to be talking. Wasn't that a shame? What they did in New York City, how they turned their back on the mayor because a police officer choked and killed an innocent man, and he stood up against them and said he did not care for that type of action. He didn't say the man killed the guy intentionally. He just said he killed him. Well, he didn't really even say that, actually. I'm paraphrasing. I mean, he just basically said, I don't like it. And these thugs call themselves police officers. And I know a number of police officers, a number of them. I mean, not one or two. And I say no, not see them in the street or across the street. Hi, Officer Smith. Been right here on my property. Been in many meetings with them. There are some really good cops out there. So you thug cops, wear that shoe till it puts a corn on your foot till you can't even stand. And for you good cops, I still love you, brothers and sisters. And I say that in a Christian way, not from a racial perspective. But I'm talking about the thugs and the ignorant ones. I still don't know if I've seen media show pictures of black cops turning their back. They won't show that. I don't remember seeing it. There may have been one or two. You got a few Uncle Toms out there. You always will. I know all of you out there within an ear voice who are over 10 years old have had one of your own race be your worst nemesis. I could name names from my corporate background of 25 years. That's for another show once we grow a bit. So don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about every single black. I'm talking about, for the most part, I can't remember seeing any media showing blacks turning their backs on the mayor. These are, for the most part, just some thugs. So, folks, you owe it to yourself to speak the truth to power. You just simply owe it to yourself. Now, I'm hoping that that our guest will be able to join us, because if you think I'm speaking truth to power, oh boy, our guest is going to bring it and bring it strong. But I just want you to think about what they did to Bill de Blasio. And not just Bill de Blasio, it's his family. For those of you who don't know, the mayor of New York City is Mr. Bill de Blasio. Google him. Google his family. He has a black wife. His son wears an afro and is very much black looking. And his son easily could be the next victim in a stairwell. Well, maybe not up in the projects. And he knows that. And that's why I'm more so disgusted with President Obama. He has two daughters. Black, very black looking. I guess he figures, well, they're going to be lawyers someday, and they're protected, and they'll have Secret Service protecting them. Shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you, President Obama. To need to just be courageous and say, by the way, we're taking a close look at the criminal actions potentially that's going on in our cities. Those who are supposed to be protecting us, we're taking a close look. He's so fearful. You know why? Because in New York City, a bunch of thugs stood up and turned their back on the mayor. Or I should say, the mayor's black son and his black wife. So President Obama's shaking in his boots. And he's teaching many people how to be fearful. Not this one here. But those who know that they know, but really don't know. And I say that because in their hearts, they know, but in their minds, they don't. They're seeing something that just doesn't make sense. That was a nice speech. He's so articulate. I know he's doing the best he can. You all aren't in his shoes. You don't know he has to deal with international affairs. You don't know what kind of threats he's had against his life or his children's lives or And how many people are you responsible for? You, I want to be president, man. How many people? So when you took that, you took it selfishly? When you take a position like that, you lay it all on the line, as far as I'm concerned. That's a president. And for those who want to say, well, you know, he can only do so much because this is his last 2 years. What do you got to lose now? With a simple 20-minute outspoken press conference, this man could turn the world on its head in terms of the racism that's going on. And you all know it in your heart that don't want to acknowledge it in your mind. You liars. Now, is there anybody else I can insult out there, Cecil? Because it's getting to be a little bit disgusting. I'm getting a little bit of that gall in my throat. You know, when you're ready to throw up, I think about the disgust that's going on out here. And I know people got to survive. I understand. I'm there. Been there. Doesn't look like our guest is going to be able to join us this evening. But believe you me, Mr. Crenshaw will be joining us in the future. And that's a promise. I don't know if Cecil's in the studio here. It looks like he is. I want to ask him if Mr. Crenshaw will be joining us. If he could just send me a note, I'd appreciate that. But let me mention a few things about the speech, because that's what this program was about. And I'd like to encourage you to call in at 347-838-9142. I took some notes with regard to the speech and found some very good analytical data. I love analytical data. I was an economics major. I've always loved numbers. Some people think I'm a little crazy for that, but that's just my thing. I wish more of our black children would love numbers because they certainly have the talent to utilize them. But, of course, they're not being geared that way too often in our schools. So, let's take a look, just a little bit of a look at the numbers and see what the numbers have to say about what's happening. First of all, I put some statistics that, you know, show how many times he uses a certain word. Now, the most that he used a word was economy or economics. Isn't that interesting? My thing. And he approximately used the word economy or economics 28 times. That's the most he used of any word, 28 times. The least that he used of any word was about 2 times. All right, so let's take a look at this. 28 times economy. Almost 25 times jobs. On the other end of the scale, Ebola mentioned 2 times. Google mentioned 2 times. Israel mentioned 2 times. Peace mentioned 2 times. Poverty mentioned 2 times. Let's go on the other end of the scale. Families, mentioned 23 times. Workers, drops off. Workers mentioned 13 times. Businesses mentioned 13 times. Colleges mentioned 10 times. Women mentioned 8 times. Students mentioned 7 times. Republicans mentioned 7 times. Middle class mentioned 6 times. Let's go back to the other end of the scale. Ooh, Ferguson was actually mentioned 2 times. Let's go back. What was that? Middle class mentioned 6, and somehow they average it, 6.5 times. Poverty mentioned 2 times. You know, how can we mention middle class 7 times and not mention poverty but 2 times? That just doesn't seem to be in a balance to me. You see, we're being manipulated, is what these statistics amount to. And I love statistics, so I understand these charts that I'm looking at here. Charts, of course, can be manipulated, but they can also be very, very revealing if you just take the raw data. And I'm giving you raw data here. So as you can see, he's mentioning Republicans, he's mentioning businesses, jobs. And I understand it's State of the Union. But if you notice, and he's going to start going around and doing these town hall meetings, do your homework. Don't worry, I'll be bringing the homework to you. But you do your own homework. Follow up on some of the town meetings that he's going to be giving, to follow up on his speech. He's talking about children should be able to go to community and local county colleges, near free, if not free. That's a very good thing. But you got to also talk about the fact that African-American children, they ain't going nowhere because they can't even graduate with a 50% dropout rate. So, Obama, who's fooling whom? You're not fooling me. You're fooling you. And with the mouse warriors that we have, that would be you, my listeners, we're going to bring this to light. Oh, he mentioned immigration 5 times. And I'm not hating on my Latino and Asian brothers and sisters. Oh, no. This ain't about them. They're just trying to do the best they can. Just so happens we got an African-American president who's afraid to mention his own race. So why would I hate the immigrants? Because he's so afraid that he's going to put them in front of his own people. His own mama. Well, his mama's white, but his own daddy. Maybe that's the deal. I don't think they had that big of a relationship. That could be the whole issue. He has a self-hate. I know there are those that are cringing right now. Darrell Clark, I can't believe it, sir. Get over it. I love the man. I got cousins I love dearly. Does that mean if I see him committing something that I think is egregiously wrong, I'm going to zip my lip and not say anything? Shame on me. And shame on you for giving somebody a pass just because you like them or they're of a certain race or a certain gender or a certain political party. Liars. Anyway, is there anybody else I have not offended that I'm missing? You know, we got to have fun. You got to laugh. It's better than crying. Sometimes you just got to cleanse out those tear ducts, you know. For those of you who are just so shrewd, you don't know what a tear is. Anyway, getting back to my friend and top-notch engineer, so proud to have CISO as a partner. I'm just looking here, and he's saying that our guest is probably not going to join us. Well, it's been a while since I've had a chance to really talk with you, the listener. So enough of Obama bashing for now. Obama, it's never too late, dude, by the way. I'm not hating you. In fact, I truly, truly do love you. because you're there by reason. It's no coincidence. It's never too late. Never too late. Your last day of office, dude. I'm right there with you. You can turn this on a dime. You know, that's how we are. We support. We believe in giving folks another chance. It's often been our downfall to some extent, but that's how we are. I'm talking about us good people. So, Obama, God bless you, man, that you will open up your eyes and your mind and your heart and your spirit and find out who you are and stop self-hating. And, Michelle, that dress you had on was hideous with the big collar. I don't know what that was. Such a beautiful lady. Anyway, I'm sounding like Wendy Williams. Let me stop. That's not what I'm about. That's not what Progressive News is about. Let's get more progressive. All right. So, now that I've insulted everybody I possibly could, I tell you, you got to laugh. I want to just say this on a positive note. Oh, okay, Mr. Crenshaw's on the line, but let me finish what I was going to say. On a positive note, okay, this is a year for abundance. For those who have paid some dues. So, keep that in mind. It's also for a year for speaking truth to power. Now, if you don't understand what I'm talking about, as I said earlier in the program, go to the archives and catch our first program. Right? Every year we try to, in our first program, make it an empowering program. This year was no exception. We had Dr. Craig Wright, noted numerologist, internationally respected, and he laid it out for us. So the potential is there. This is your time. If you've got a spouse or a friend or a neighbor or a coworker or a boss who you really have been in your heart and in your mind wanting to tactfully pull to one side or the other, and kind of give them a perspective of truth, this is a good year for it. Stand strong on your ideals, on your morals, on your standards. This is the year to do that. And you will attain abundance. Overcome your fear. There's nothing wrong with caution, but fear is detrimental. And I'm not saying be judgmental. Be observable. Be truthful to your observation. I'm just giving some insight from a perspective of Dr. Wright. For those of you who missed that program, this is a wonderful year to be alive. So, well, what isn't a good year to be alive? But this is a year of abundance. And some years are better than others. And this is a wonderful year. We have had years where it was going to be challenging, but you can make it through it with perseverance. This is a year of abundance if you go for it. So, folks, go for it. Now, with that said, we're going to go for some conversation with Mr. Ron Crenshaw, a friend, truly a friend of Progressive News. And listen, don't misunderstand me. I don't always agree with Ron. We have some very good spirited conversations, but I love him like a brother. And anyone on this line who has siblings or cousins or friends who they really, really care about, you know, you're not always going to see eye to eye, truthfully, if you're being honest. So we don't. But I highly respect the man because he speaks his truth. And that's all he can do is speak his truth. So with that said, I'm going to bring to you a political activist and analyst, human rights advocate. The man is inspired by Paul Robeson. I mean, what can we say? It's someone that he truly admired and does admire. He's a critical thinker and a humanitarian, and he's a historian. So I bring to the airwaves Mr. Ronald Crenshaw, and I'm going to just ask him to speak his truth to what he feels about the recent, and we only have about 20 minutes, but that's enough. Ron knows how to bring it. Ron,
Yes, yes. Thank you for inviting me into your program. I appreciate it very much. And I hope I can, you know, give some good feedback to the people and, you know, make things logical for everyone. Because, I mean, we live in a society and we have to, you know, try to understand that society. So is there anything particular you want me to speak in terms of, or just,
yes.
Or
yes.
Should I just?
Oh, I have
right.
Something very specific. I've been sort of on a roll, and I just want you to speak, you know, not that I have to ask you to do this, because I've never known you to do anything other than, but I just want you to speak your truth to what you feel about President Obama's State of the Union. I'm sure you saw it. I'm making an assumption that you did, because I know you're very,
yes,
very politically.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so give me your thoughts about that, and if you will, if you could, you know, spend the majority of the next, we have about 20 minutes of that. But then also, I want you to, after you speak about the specifics of the speech, I want you to give me your assessment of our system that we're in right now, and then last. You know, I always like to have some form of resolution. What you would suggest that the listener do to empower and enhance their selves and their loved ones' lives in this environment that we're in?
Yeah, ooh, that's a big area to cover. Thank you.
You only got 20 minutes, right? But Ryan, you know you're coming back. I'm going to insist
okay,
on it.
Right. Okay.
So get what you can out of
speech.
That.
Okay,
yeah.
About the speech, I can speak to that. I think it was a very positive type speech. It was really to capture the mindset of the middle class, because that's who he was talking to. And he was very explicit about, you know, being with them, being on their side, and that sort of thing. When, because of the fact that things are starting to look very shaky right now. I mean, this oil prices have been going down, and that means trouble. It means trouble because it's upsetting the expectations of the people that have investments. So that's a thing that he wants to try to get people to move away from thinking that things are going to be gloomy. He wants to pep them up and, you know, bring it to for people to be in, you know, invigorated about hope for the future and for what's happening. Well, all I can say about that is that that's what a leader is supposed to do. But, I mean, it's not just him alone that's going to be able to do that. The point is the system of capitalism has a certain way of working, and therefore it works in a way that it goes up and then it drops. It goes up and then it drops. It's a cycle. It just keeps doing that. And that's because most of the wealth of the country goes to the top and not with the bottom, you see. And as people, well-to-do people, get feel threatened about the situation, they go and gobble for more, and that's when things really get out of hand. So all I can say is I have no crystal ball. I don't profess to be that kind of fortune teller or anything like that. That I can't speak about. But I know for a fact that things are starting to look gloomy, and that's why he had to have that speech, because that's where things are. The oil prices are dropping, and that's upsetting the apple cart. So on that level, it's something that we can expect, but it's a matter that the system itself has to, you know, be done away with, because it's very injurious to working people, extremely so. So, I mean, that I would say automatically in a general. Taking out his points in particular, well, I didn't take notes, so I can't take his points particularly, but I'm just saying the overall thing about it is that it's forecasting another downfall, and they'll have to do whatever they can do again to pep it up. But taking money from the poor is not going to replace that wealth that needs to be done by people working. That's how wealth is generated, by people working. And they've got to find a way to give money to the people who work for a living, because those are the people that are going to spend their money. So if they don't have the money to spend, everything just starts to implode. That's what I would say. And I think that's correct because of how capitalism works. It first starts off nice, it booms, and then at a certain point it starts to bust and has to go down because wages never keep in step with what's the wealth that's being created. And that's the antagonism in the system. So, because it's a system based on exploitation of labor. That's where it is. We think we're free and all of that, but not really. We're actually wage slaves. And that's the way the system works. So it works on a profit basis. Profit comes out of labor. So therefore, we have that impasse constantly. So what they have done it. Yes, go ahead.
What do you feel about, and I'm only mentioning this because I just made a note of it.
Yes.
His lack of commenting on or even having an agenda for his own, well, partially his own race. I guess the concern that I have is this is the, this is the address. And I've yet to hear him really talk about an agenda. And this one in the wake of massive killings across the country of black youth.
Yes, right. Yeah, well, that's another thing. See,
Governor Cuomo even spoke on the atrocity, and he's not even black.
Yeah, but he didn't do anything about it.
See, well, at least he's
let's put it this way.
He spoke on it, Ron.
Yeah,
I mean,
okay, but that's
lip service. Obama will not let it off his lips.
Right, but that's lip service. Because Cuomo, could have checked the district attorney in Staten Island over the Eric Gardner case. He chose not to. And they asked for a special prosecutor. He didn't accept that. He didn't let them have the special prosecutor. So, I mean, it's like Donovan, who's the DA for Staten Island, is a Republican. Cuomo is a Democrat. So we're looking at the two parties being in concert with each other. And therefore, it goes back to the fact that the two parties really are one party just with two branches. We have to realize that the people who fund and control the Republican Party are the same people that fund and control the Democratic Party. They're super wealthy, and they govern the country. They have front men, and the front men are the established politicians. Each branch is controlled by the super wealthy. That's what we live in. It's really an oligarchy. And when you go to vote, you're voting for people that they put in place. That's the way it is. We can think of it as a democracy if we wish to. That's fine. But in actuality, it can't be that. No empire can be truly a democracy, because it by dint that it is an empire, it must maintain its position of power in on the earth here. And that's what it is. It's about that. I wish I could say other. I wish I could say pleasant words, but that's where it is. And for working class people to be segmented is not to their benefit. Working class people have to find a way to come together. So then they have power, because whatever the chain link is, the weakest part makes it the whole part worthless. We have to come together as a whole. That's what's there for us to do. It's going to be a hard road to do, because everyone is so fixated on acquiring wealth, thinking that wealth is power. Well, yeah, it's power in terms of what you can purchase, but outside of that, unless you have state power, you don't really have power. Just to have wealth is not the total into what you're about. It has to be a people's government that's going to lead the country. That's what I have to say on that issue. I mean, you can just size it up yourself and see the vast amounts of wealth that a few have. I mean, the corporations are, owned by various families, and they interlock, of course, but very few families own all of these corporations.
Well,
and
you know,
that's
they had
where the power is.
There's a statistic that came on television that said there are 80 families that control, and of course, we've heard these statistics before, but I loved it. It was actually on mainstream, well, sort of mainstream. It was on cable. 80 families that basically control majority of all the wealth on the planet. 80 families.
Yeah. That's very plausible. Very plausible. Yes, very much so. When you realize their portfolios, what these families have, the Rockefellers, the Mellons, the Morgans, the DuPonts, I mean, it's fantastic. It's like Morgan has control over the electric grid from Maine to Florida, you see. So, I mean, just think about that. That's a monopoly. You know, Con Edison is in his hip pocket. I mean, it's fantastic.
And therefore, those companies have influence on our government through lobbyists. So who's really running the political spectrum?
Right, right. And an excellent book on that is The Power Elite by C. Wright Mills. Excellent book that lays this thing out.
Yeah.
And there's another one by G. William Dumhoff, Who Rules America Now? These are books you can get from the library. They're there. And they tell the story. It's not something that, it's just I'm throwing out there. I mean, you can look into it. Don't take my word for it.
It should be required reading in our schools.
Well,
Do you remember
it
civics?
Can't be.
That.
Yes, I know, but this kind of stuff can't be. Because it's detrimental to the powers to be. They can't allow that. I mean, we didn't when WikiLeaks was putting out its information, they blocked that internet service from coming to the public on the internet. We never got the WikiLeaks information on the internet. That was blocked because it showed the improprieties of the United States and what it was doing in Afghanistan and Iraq, and even more. So, I mean, we have a, for black people, I mean, outright, it's fascist. And it's fascist for whites, too, but, I mean, they don't have to bear the brunt of cops who are trigger-happy taking the lives of innocent black people, or non-white people, I should say, because they take more than just black people. They take Latinos and Orientals, too.
True.
So, I mean, and they get away with it. So that police problem really is not really a police problem. It's a state apparatus problem, because the people who govern the police encourage their behavior by pardoning them, letting them out. I mean, I want to just say it. because that's what it is. It's really that way.
And, tell the truth.
The chokehold was illegal. We saw it on the we saw it on television, and the DA Donovan used legalese to counteract the coroner's report. The coroner's report revealed that it was a chokehold. He said no. I mean, the DA said no. This was a put down hold, and due to his illness, he died. Due to his illness. Not our chokehold, but because of his illness, he died when we put him down. See, so there's no trial, you see. And the whole thing with Ferguson is the same thing, you know. They use legalese to wiggle out of it. Because there they used a woman who was bipolar. Who really, they didn't see any evidence. She said she drove into the area to see some high school friend of hers she hadn't seen in a long time, and then she, you know, went off with the thing about Michael Brown, and they say they didn't see anything about her car being in the area from the cameras that were around. So I'm also wondering if there were cameras around to vindicate whether her car was there. Why weren't the cameras also able to see what happened between the officer and Michael Brown? And the people who were there that said that he had his hands up, the district attorney disregarded that altogether, you see, and no one will do anything, of higher officials will do anything. And that's why I say the country is fascist. It is fascist. I mean, yeah. You don't have, you don't have honest elections. They can't be. They're governed by the two-party system, which is one party. So, I mean, you know, you have a Green Party, they never get anywhere because big money runs the show. So, you know, people have to wake up to understand what's really going on.
Right.
So, I mean,
well, you know, I made a statement
earlier. I love the
country
and... Huh?
I made a statement earlier. I was, sometimes I wear my emotion on my sleeve. I've been known to do that. I think I insulted people tonight, only if they deserved it. But I made a statement that I was a bit nauseated and disgusted by not, hearing him have that opportunity to step up. But I will always support our president at any time that he's ready to step up, speak truth. I don't expect it, don't look for it, but I'll certainly welcome it. I truly will. I was disgusted. That's the word I have to use. I was just disgusted by it. And what I'd like to see is that's at that presidential national level. And as you said, there's a state apparatus. I think
right.
that what's got to I think it's got to start at the grassroots level. I think it has to start at the city council level. I think it has to start at the mayoral level. That's where I think change may have to start and then expand out. Of course, it's always good to have a national leader, which we have none right now. And I also believe what they did in New York City to Mayor de Blasio was disgusting.
Yes.
Turned their back on him. I think that was a thug move by a bunch of thug rogue police. And I think people got...
We have to analyze who permitted it. See, we have to go to who permitted it. See, because the mayor, they work for the mayor. The mayor could summarily, put them in, punish them. He could punish them outright. But there's more to it than just the mayor. It's who's behind the mayor. You see what I mean? Who's behind the mayor? Who's behind the police commissioner? Because these are front men. We have to realize that. These are front men.
The mayor's a front man?
Of course. They are front men. That's where we are.
For whom? Tell the truth.
For super wealthy people that want to maintain empire.
Well, in New York City, that would mean a lot, i.e. Donald Trump.
Okay. All right.
Let's just be
true
here.
Who are the owners of Big Oil? who are the owners of big banks? Who is the owners of big industry? Big banks and big industry was bailed out. We have to pay the price of that bailout with an austerity program for us. That's the way it is. And that's why the speech was an encouraging speech, because things look very gloomy. And that speech was very necessary to try to settle the minds of people, to get their minds off of the gloominess.
Oh, is that why? I was mentioning some statistic earlier. You would have appreciated. I was mentioning I some statistics off the web, and you know, you can go to websites and they'll tell you how many times a word was mentioned. And I said that the most frequently mentioned word with 28 mentions was economy. The most least mentioned word was poverty. That was two times.
I see.
Ferguson mentioned two times. Job mentioned 25 times. Families mentioned three times. Ebola mentioned two times. Even peace was only two times.
Yes. Because they're locked in a war.
Middle mentioned almost eight times. Middle class. But yet poverty mentioned only once or twice.
Right.
You see, look, you're on point when you said it was a middle class speech.
Right.
The statistics bear it out, what you just said. I wasn't going to share that until you had given your opinion, but you were right on point.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm trying to relate to factual information. That's what the facts show. I mean, the facts show the murder of innocent blacks and police walking away. And who gives them that license to walk away? Judges, DAs, governors, presidents. That's what we are. So the police are the instrument, but the true malefactors are the ones that let them go. That's the way it is. We may chase police, but that's not where it has to be chased. We must be a force conscious of their being the instrument.
Follow
see what
the
I mean?
Feeding line. Huh.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So I'll bet that can be expounded too on all levels, even in the Ferguson case. And even in that Rice case in New York, the Garner case, case in Cleveland, the Garner case, because I was taking it to a local level, and you just brought something out here. You said, Daryl, happening on the national level is also happening on the local level. Your mayors in all three of those towns, Cleveland, St. Louis, or whatever that Ferguson was, and New York.
Missouri.
So even at the lower levels of political structure, you have that same thing as you have at the national level.
Right.
The big buyout.
That's right. That's right.
Wow. That's profound, folks. Listeners, did you hear that? Listeners, you got to hold your council people accountable. You got to hold your mayors accountable. And it's easy.
Right.
If it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck and has feathers like a duck and flies like a duck, it's a duck. And you need to call these out. And we have some good mayors in this country, I believe, but we have some bad ones as well. We have a few good governors. No, I've yet to see one. But we have plenty of bad ones. So we can go up the line. I'm coming around to the point in the last 2 minutes of what do we do now?
Well, what do we do now? We have to try to get the information out to people, as many people as possible. We have to get that information, and we have to deal with people who are willing to listen. Because there are a lot of people that don't want to listen. And we can't waste our time on people that don't want to listen. We've got to get the information out to as many people as possible of what the situation is and why it's that way. Because it's not a racial matter in any sense of the word. It's not a racial matter. Race is important in this country because it divides white from black. That's why it's important. to keep white and black separated. We can't chase race in this question, because capitalism can be practiced by any so-called racial group. It's not. It's the system that needs to be changed. And that's how we have to go for it. We can't go for it selecting out just blacks are going to have their liberty and their liberation. No, that's not. That's all, you know, it's anti-scientific. There's no black race. There's no white race. It's a human race, and it has different phenotypes. That's it. So we work in concert with each other if we want to stay on the planet. That's where we have to go. We want to stay on the planet and make it a better planet for ourselves and for all life that's on the planet. That's where we have to go. I will never say that this has anything to do with race, because it does not. And we see blacks killing blacks. Boko Haram is killing blacks. You see what I mean? So we have to realize what the complexity of what we're up against and try to understand it, and try to understand that we need a different system, a system that works with people. In other words, a socialist system that will work with for people, for their benefit, as all of us contribute to our existence. That's what we are. We are social beings, and we need to stay that way, being social beings, looking out for each other the best way we can. So that's what my picture is. I struggle for that every day. I don't say I'm perfect. I'm not. I know that. But that's the step forward that we want to struggle for.
So, well, Ron, I truly appreciate you, and you did excellent
you.
For 20 minutes.
Thank you.
I truly
thank
appreciate you,
very
you to power, breaking
yes.
it down in an understandable way. Ron,
right.
you know, looking forward to the next time that you join us in the weeks ahead, because we do truly appreciate you coming on from time to time just to stir our conscience and bring about
yes.
some knowledge and information that can
thank
empower
you. Thank you for allowing me to speak. I appreciate that very much. Because I have no hostility to any group. I just want, you know, a change for the betterment of us all.
And absolutely, we know that. Ron,
yes.
that's very obvious in who you are. That's very,
yes.
very obvious. Listeners, we have been talking with Mr. Ronald Crenshaw. And Ronald Crenshaw is a political activist. He's a humanitarian. He's truly someone who cares about us as a group of people, human race. And he uses the inspiration of Paul Robeson to carry forward in terms of his courage.
Thank
so
you.
With that, my friend, historian, humanitarian, critical thinker, Mr. Ron Crenshaw, I look forward to the next time that you join us on Progressive News Weekly.
And I thank you very much for having me, please. And those accolades, I hope to live up to them. Thank you very much.
You do every day. Well, to you, our listeners, we thank you for tuning in again. And just keep in mind that we're all in this together. And
right.
it's through that unity that we can make a difference. We truly can make a difference. And I would just encourage you to tell someone about Progressive News Weekly. The archives are always available 24 hours a day within an hour of the end of this program. Go to the archives, listen to this program, listen to last week's program when we had Mr. Dick Gregory, and the week before when we had Dr. Craig Wright. And in the meantime, stay on the one, be true to yourself, speak truth to power, and germinate. What I mean by germinate is spread this word of knowledge, as Mr. Crenshaw had mentioned. Spread the word of knowledge. And just know, we really are in this love. Week,